Dr. Arthur Perry. He's one of the top plastic surgeons. He's got offices in Manhattan, New Jersey. You know, and he's been doing a show here on WOR for years and years and years. Very popular show and a great plastic surgeon. Everybody has questions on this subject, so he's the guy to ask. Dr. Arthur Perry.
No, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
And I went to his office, and I said, look at my face. And he goes, yeah, look at your face. We're going to do your face. What can you do with his face? I go like that. I swear to God. I go, look at this. I'm getting old. Like I said, I want to maybe you could fix it up a little bit.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry, the best in plastic surgery.
Remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And we're happy to be back here. We were off for a week and had a rerun the week before. So it's been a few weeks. And am I rusty on the radio? No, I'm not. I'm ready for you. It's after Labor Day. We're having fun on the radio, and you can be part of the fun by giving me a call. 800-321. See, I'm rusty. 800-321-0710. Well, this is the show about you. This is the plastic surgery show on WOR. It's the cosmetic surgery show. There's a difference, by the way. It's the skincare show, the dermatology show. Yes, this is the show about you, the show about your wrinkles and about your brown splotchy pigmentation and your large nose and your droopy breasts and your buttocks that are too big or maybe too small and bellies that protrude. That's what this show is all about. You can give me a call by calling that number, 800-321-0710. And because it's after Labor Day, everybody's been asking, why don't you give out bottles of nighttime? We love nighttime, Dr. Perry, because all summer long I've been giving out bottles of daytime. And I know a lot of you are going to call just to ask your question, just to get your bottles of nighttime. But I like getting those questions. So that's okay. 800-321-0710. Now, what is nighttime? It's the one-stop shopping for skincare. It's got everything that you need. In a skincare program, I've left out all the stuff you don't need. That means there's vitamin A, vitamin C, antioxidants, there's fruit acids, things like milk thistle. It's really, really good. And the reason I created this product is because my patients will not stay on multi-step programs. And I have a lot of celebrity patients. I've got patients that are so motivated that they will go under the knife to make themselves look better. And yet, they will not do a multi-step program. And so I made a simple program. I've got everything in there that's scientifically proven. I've left out the stuff that's ridiculous. Like tonight, we're going to talk about plant cells in skincare, right? Do you believe that's going to be good? Well, stay tuned and we'll talk about plant cells. But no, I don't have them in my products and will never have them. And I'll tell you why. So I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR, the program about you. We're going to, yes, so I've telegraphed my punches. We're going to be talking about plant stem cells in skincare. We're going to talk about spider veins. We don't talk about things like that too often, but spider veins are a big issue. A lot of people have spider veins, not just on the legs and the thighs, but on the face. There's different ways we treat those. And Noah thought we dropped off for just a second. We hit the cough button. Sorry about that. You know, I just spent the last 2 weeks in Ireland. I was giving Noah my Irish accent, which I perfected over the vacation. And I went to Ireland and Scotland and England. It was a fascinating vacation. And I'll tell you something. You come back to the New York area, it's warm here. You know, in Scotland, it was about 50 degrees. We had winter coats on. People are shuffling through the streets. I was waiting for the snow. So it's a beautiful city, Edinburgh, as we say, but really cold. I don't know how many of you have been there. Well, I had a great time. I'm back and ready to get into action. So once again, the phone number, 800-321-0710. So, you know, I love skincare. It's one of my interests, one of my passions. I read almost everything I can get my hands on about skincare. And there are things that work and things that don't work. And you've heard me talking ever since I created Night Skin, which was, wow, that was 10 years ago or so, something like that. It was the beginning of Noah's time. It was 2006. Wow, that's a long time already. And I did that. I created a product that had only things that worked. And that sounds obvious, doesn't it? Don't you believe that your skincare should work? Well, if you go into the stores and you start reading the labels, and I'm sure in stores like Sephora, they probably have my picture in the back room, and they say the guy's back again, because I spend an hour looking at labels and reading and looking at all the different products, and they wonder probably why. You know, I walked around Harrods in England, and they had some guy trailing me, I think, when I look at the packages. But it is a real interest of mine, and I look at things that work and things that don't work. And I'll tell you, most things in skincare don't work for a variety of reasons. And we talked about this on the show. Either the molecules are too big to get into the skin, or the pH is wrong. That means the acidity of the skincare is wrong. Or there are substances like vitamin C and vitamin A that must be administered, must be used at night because they're light sensitive. And then there are things that are just ridiculous. And one of those things is stem cells. What are stem cells? So we have animal stem cells and we have plant stem cells. And they are the, they're, I want to keep this nice and simple for you. They're the cells that other cells are made from. That means in the developing embryo, there's one cell that can create a whole human being, right? Well, there are stem cells in humans and mammals, and there are stem cells in plants, and those are the cells that can react. So when a plant is, you know, you think of it as just this thing that sits there in your garden, right? But plants are very almost intelligent organisms, because they can sense different things. Like animal, when an animal comes and bites on a leaf, they can immediately start making some toxic substances to keep other animals away, or insects. Very interesting. They also, if the salt concentration in the water changes, for instance, if they're on the Jersey Shore, and there's a big storm and they get splattered with salt water, well, do they die right away? Well, actually not. The stem cells in plants can respond and make chemicals that can withstand different salt concentrations. So it's a fascinating subject. I actually thought I might have majored in botany my first year of college at Rutgers, but I came to my senses pretty quickly. I did take some botany courses and found it quite interesting. Well, plants have stem cells, and some enterprising companies have started using plant stem cells in their skincare. In fact, I counted this morning 75 different products that claim to have plant stem cells. And now it's interesting. How could they possibly have plant stem cells? Well, it turns out that not a single one of those companies actually has plant stem cells. Even though they might say it on the label and in their advertising, it's physically impossible, because how can you have a stem cell that's a live organism, right? And if you process the stem cells and then put it in a bottle for you to use on yourself, how could that possibly survive? Think of your lettuce in the refrigerator. You put lettuce in the refrigerator, in just a few days, it's brown. You know, and that's sort of a living organism in the beginning. There's metabolic activity in the leaves, and then it dies very quickly, and so do stem cells. And in fact, in the preparation of any plant stem cell, it dies, unless you're in a laboratory and you have sophisticated cell culture techniques. So plant stem cells, no, you can't possibly have them. Why would you want to have them? We'll get into that in just a minute, but let's talk about just having them. So it's impossible, and we have to agree on that, that you cannot have plant stem cells in your skincare. So what do? They take the plant stem cell extract. And what is that? That's the stuff that these stem cells make. So then you say, well, what are they making? Well, they're making all sorts of antioxidants, yes. They are making all the things that make plants different colors, because plants sit there in the sun all day long, right, like they did today, although it was partly cloudy. But they have to sit out there and not get DNA damage from the ultraviolet rays. If we did this, if we stood in the sun for 12 hours a day, we'd get blistered skin in the summer. We'd get skin cancers very early. So we protect ourselves with sunscreen. Well, their sunscreen are things like, chlorophyll. That acts as a sunscreen. There's something called sulforaphane. Some of these are very difficult to pronounce chemicals, isocyanate indoles. They're in broccoli. And then there are things that have the red pigment in raspberries called lycopenes. You know that one. In berries, there's purples and blues, anthocyanins, and there's orange cryptoxanthins. You know that one. In carrots, right? And there's flavonoids in mushrooms that are brown, and allicin, that's white. That's in onions and garlic and things like that. I won't go on, but there's all these wonderful ingredients that plants make that when we eat, we get the benefit. So people thought, well, if it's good for plants and it's good for us if we eat it, let's put it in skincare and see if it does anything. So they took these plant stem cells, took the extracts of plant stem cells, and put it in very expensive skin creams. You can find them in the area of up to $250 for an ounce of this stuff. And then you say, well, it's got to be good, right? It's expensive. It's got plant stem cell extract. Okay, it's not plant stem cells. It's got to be good for you. So let's go to the science. Well, what's in these things? Well, it turns out if you really look at the science, and there are a few publications that have analyzed this very critically, and one was actually out of Rutgers just a few years ago, and they looked at these plant stem cell extracts, and they looked at putting them into skincare. And the question is, do they do anything? Well, you know, if they have some of the antioxidants, that's a good thing, but there's no advantage to having the stem cell extract as opposed to just putting the vitamin C or the vitamin A or any of these other things like what I have, silymarin, which is taken from the milk thistle plant, in the plant, or rather in the skincare. So here we have something that's a plant cell, plant stem cell. No, not going to be. Plant cell, can't even say it, right? Plant stem cell extract. Does that do anything? Well, no more than the ingredients in it. And what are the ingredients? Very tiny amounts of antioxidants. So in my opinion, it's all, you know what I'm going to say. And I won't really say it, but I don't believe in it. You shouldn't believe in it. And I like skincare products that really work, that have science behind them, ingredients that are well studied. That's what my products are. And that's what you should be looking, whether it's my brand or any other brand. You want real science and real things that work. And the lesson for the day is plant stem cells. Not a shred of evidence that they work. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. The phone number, 800-321-0710. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back after these words. Listen carefully if you're interested in beautiful skin. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Good skincare really can improve your appearance. I know you've used many products over the years and haven't seen a difference. So you say, why should I try your skincare, Dr. Perry? Well, here's why. I combine scientifically proven ingredients into just a few products, and that keeps it simple. A study showed my skincare reduced the appearance of wrinkles by 20% and visual signs of aging by 44% at 12 weeks. That's huge, and that's real. Daytime with niacin protects, and nighttime with vitamins A and C nourishes. And Clean Time Cleansing Bar even removes most makeup. I'm offering my basic kit, all three products, for $65 plus shipping. If you use the WOR2019 code, go to drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com, or call 844-DR-PERRY to order. To learn more, listen every Saturday at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
We've become a nation obsessed with losing weight, but we seem to be losing sight of why. At RWJ Barnabas Health, we take a different approach to weight loss. Instead of emphasizing short-term goals like reducing the size of your waist, we focus on long-term benefits like reducing your risk of diabetes, sleep apnea, and hypertension. And for those whose best option is bariatric surgery, your journey begins with a nurse navigator who will be with you from the time you commit right through recovery. Along the way, you'll learn about different surgical techniques, healthy eating, sensible exercise, and support groups. And once you find your healthy weight, you'll look and feel better too. It's not about losing weight overnight. It's about staying healthy over time. Visit rwjbh.org/weightloss. RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. You know, sometimes I do the show from the studio. That's the majority. Sometimes I do it from my studio in my house so I can watch my basset hounds. And they're outside my window right now. And it looks like they have cornered a woodchuck. So we'll keep you up to date during the show on what the basset hounds are doing. I've got two basset hounds. They're wonderful little animals. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon, host of the show. And for those of you who have not listened to this show before, where have you been since we've been on since 2005? It's a long time, a lot of interviews, a lot of fun times with Noah on WOR, the greatest station in America, which you can hear from Maine to Virginia and around the world on the internet. All right, earlier I promised you that we would talk a little bit about skincare and about spider veins. We've already done the skincare, so we're going to talk just for a minute about spider veins. And, you know, there are spider veins on the face. There are spider veins on the legs. We're going to talk about how we treat those both. But I think we'll do this first. We'll go to our interview. We've got Dr. David Dobesch on the line. He is a cardiac electrophysiologist. Boy, a lot of big words. September marks the National Atrial Fibrillation Awareness Month. I bet you didn't know that. You thought it was just French Fry Month. Atrial fibrillation awareness is crucially important because at least 2.5 million, even more, Americans are estimated to be living with atrial fibrillation, but few might understand what it means to have a life-threatening arrhythmia. So Dr. David Dobesch is from the St. Barnabas Medical Center and RWJ Barnabas Health Facility. He's a member of the RWJ Barnabas Rutgers Medical Group, and he specializes in clinical cardiac electrophysiology. That's the rhythm of the heart. Welcome, Dr. Dobesch.
Dr. Perry, pleasure to be here. Thanks for letting me come and join your show this evening.
Well, thank you. Now, have I pronounced your name correctly?
Absolutely correct. Yep.
Okay. That's the hardest part of the evening, getting your name right. So we're going to talk about atrial fibrillation, and I'll tell you a little bit, a little story before we even begin. I was on a plane ride 2 days ago, and a woman a few seats in front of me had a medical emergency, so I took care of her. I was the only doctor on the plane, and it was very interesting. I took her pulse, and she had an irregular rhythm, so I put my iWatch on her and had her hold it, and I did an EKG on the airplane with my iWatch, and no, she didn't have atrial fibrillation, but she did have a little bigeminy, and we'll talk a little about irregular rhythms, but let's talk
very
about atrial fibrillation. What is it?
So atrial fibrillation, simply put, is an irregular heartbeat. You know, most people have a nice regular pulse or heart rhythm, but some people can develop overactivity in the top chambers of your heart, those chambers called the atria. And that overactivity can lead to a very irregular pulse.
Okay. So now there's lots of reasons for irregular pulses, and some are benign and some are not so benign, correct?
That is correct. You know, there's a lot of things that contribute to developing irregular pulses. Some can be from the atria in the top chambers. Some can be in the ventricles, which are in the bottom chambers.
All right. So now, if someone has atrial fibrillation, how do you make that diagnosis? How do they know it? What are the symptoms? And how do you make that diagnosis?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because there's a large range of symptoms. You know, some people may have extraordinary symptoms and complaints, and they feel an irregular heart rhythm if it lasts for 5 or 10 seconds. And at the other end of the spectrum can be some people have no symptoms at all. So it can be a little bit of a challenge. The most common symptoms that people report when I see them in the office, they have irregularity or pounding or racing in their chest. They may complain of shortness of breath, particularly with exertion. And some people may have dizziness. And because these symptoms of AFib can overlap with other cardiac symptoms, kind of the key for diagnosing it is getting an electrocardiogram or EKG in the office, which records your heart's electrical signals. Some people might wear even a monitor for a week or a monitor for a month if they have intermittent symptoms. And if they're sitting in with you on the airplane, they might put on their wearable iWatch to see what their pulse is up to.
It's really cool. Have you seen those iWatches?
Patients bring it in all the time. It's become a very useful sort of adjunct when you're trying to talk to people about their symptoms, and they can give you something they brought in from home to say, does this help you?
Yeah, you know, and for a non-cardiologist, non-internist like myself, I see the tracing. I think it's just great. You probably look at that and say, ah, that's a terrible tracing. But so what if someone has atrial fibrillation? What's the problem with that? Is it dangerous? Is it tell us about it.
Well, you know, there's two different sets of problems that come with having atrial fibrillation. You know, the first category is the dysfunction you can get from your heart going either too fast or too slow. You know, if your heart is racing all the time, that can fatigue you, it can weaken to the heart, and in rare cases even lead to congestive heart failure. The other thing we worry about with slow heart rates is the slow heart rate can provide dizziness. Now, in addition to those symptoms, the slow and fast heart rates, is a completely separate set of concerns, and that's the risk of stroke. People who have atrial fibrillation are at higher risk of developing a stroke, and it's actually the most common cause of stroke. But not everybody has the same risk. And your doctor is the best person to go over what are the risk factors for stroke, how many of them do you have, and how do we want to address that?
So what's the cause of atrial fibrillation? Is it just inherent? Are people destined to get it, or are there things that can actually cause it?
You know, I wish there was just one cause that we could treat, but unfortunately a lot of things sort of go into this, from genetic to environmental complaints. And I try to think of it the way I think of gray hair. Not everybody's going to get gray hair. Some people get it when they're young. Some people get it when they're older. Some people progress very rapidly. So, you know, things like high blood pressure, age, leaky heart valves, congestive heart failure, there's a couple other medical conditions that can make it more likely, but there's no one singular cause that you can go after.
So now, if someone does have the diagnosis of atrial fibrillation, we're going to talk about medications, we're going to talk about procedures and things, but what does someone do right away if they're diagnosed with this?
Well, the most important thing is to make sure your symptoms are under control. If you're having dizziness or chest pains or really short of breath, by all means, just go to the emergency room and take care of things quickly. But aside from that, since there is a range of severity, some people, if they notice their problem is more rapid heart rate, your doctor may say, listen, I want you to limit aggressive exercise activity for a while. Other people may notice a distinct connection between alcohol or caffeine or their own natural adrenaline levels make them feeling like they're having more AFib. So if patients notice a distinct correlation, somebody says, hey, every time I have a glass of red wine, I feel my heart racing. Well, yeah, we're going to tell you to back off on that. And those recommendations kind of reflect how your body is responding. And then, as we said before, a lot of people end up taking blood thinners. And if you're taking blood thinners, you may have to modify some of your activities to reduce things that cause significant bruising or bleeding, stuff like that.
So there's been a lot of talk lately. I mean, the traditional treatment has been blood thinners and just making sure that someone's rate is not real high, correct?
Right. That's kind of been the bedrock of the treatment for the past couple decades, to be honest.
But there are some new treatments now, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of options depending on what your particular issue is as a patient. And a lot of things go into this discussion, and it often turns into a long discussion in the office, 30, 45 minutes just trying to go over these options. The big one has to do with reducing stroke risk. Blood thinners have always been sort of the choice to reduce that risk. You know, if the top chambers in the atria are not squeezing rhythmically, pumping the blood through, you can get pooling of blood in the top left chamber in an area called the appendage. And if that turns into a little blood clot that travels out into your circulation, that's when we start worrying about a stroke or an embolism. Being on blood thinners will help you reduce the risk of having a blood clot develop and thereby reduce your risk of stroke. Now, not everybody can tolerate blood thinners. You know, they may have bleeding from their colon or ulcers or easy bruising. We all know somebody who's got bruises all over the place from taking blood thinners. And so instead of using medications to prevent blood clots, there now is a procedure called left atrial appendage closure, where through a minimally invasive procedure, we actually put a plug into this area and the body then seals it up over 45 days. And once it's healed, people get to stop their blood thinners altogether. And it's been shown in large clinical trials over a decade old now that this is as good as taking blood thinners. So if people don't have an issue with blood thinners or they need it for another reason, that's great. But if they don't have any if they don't have tolerance to it, knowing that there's a simple procedure as an alternative to modify the stroke risk is great for them.
Well, my guest this evening is Dr. David Dobesch. He is a cardiologist and actually quite a spectacular one. We trained at the same place, by the way.
We
were both at Beth Israel in Boston. I probably was there a little bit before you. I left there in 84. I think you're a lot younger than me. When did you leave?
We didn't quite overlap, not quite.
But I was there when Dr. Paul Zoll was there, and I don't know if he was still there when you were there. But Dr. Zoll, as you know, was the inventor of, I believe, the defibrillator and the pacemaker, and was just a spectacular man. He used to shuffle around the hallways of Beth Israel. It's Harvard Medical School, where we used to say that everybody wrote a book, including the people in the dining room, which is actually true. They did.
a lot of legendary electrophysiologists came through the Boston area over the years.
A spectacular place. All right, Dr. David Dobesch. So now we're talking about atrial fibrillation, which sometimes if you say it real fast is a hard word to say. You're at RWJ Barnabas Health. Now, what sets your system and your cardiology group aside? What's different about your approach to atrial fibrillation, and what's unique about your program?
Well, you know, I would have to say, having trained like you in Boston and New York, being over here in the Barnabas system for the past 12 years has really given me a glimpse into high-quality medicine. And the RWJ Barnabas Health System does pride itself on providing the greatest health care. And the reason for that is we have the most state-of-the-art technology, which we can use to do really amazing things that just were dreams and not even considered 10 years ago. We also have the best cardiologists who are really well-trained right here in New Jersey, and we have everything you need for complete care, vascular care, pediatric cardiac care. If you line up all our nurses, our interventional cardiologists, our electrophysiologists, and our cardiac surgeons, I think you're going to find that we have the ability to do things that you couldn't get done better anywhere around the world. I will say we are an award-winning cardiac care hospital. We have one of the three largest heart transplant programs in the nation. We have great pediatric cardiology and cardiac surgery. And when it comes to complex procedures, you know, we have this way of getting our cardiac surgeons, interventional cardiologists, and EP guys to work together to do complicated things like transcatheter aortic valve replacements, transcatheter mitral valve repairs, and even low X-ray or no X-ray ablation procedures for people who have arrhythmias. So I don't think you're going to find better than the RWJ Barnabas system.
And I absolutely agree. And I'll tell you, cardiology has changed so much in the last 30 years. You must be astounded at the incredible developments, how heart disease has been treated more successfully and aggressively now, and things that someone would have died from 40 years ago, 50 years ago, they're routine treatments now. It's really quite amazing, isn't it?
It's pretty incredible what the options are. You know, every once in a while I'll see a patient and you take a step back, you realize they have a pacemaker, a transcatheter aortic valve replacement, transcatheter mitral valve replacement, and they've also had a Watchman device. And all these things are making their lives not only longer but better. They're having fewer symptoms. They're going out and doing stuff with their grandkids and their kids. It's really phenomenal, the technologies that we have available to us now.
And they're still on the tennis court.
Yes, a lot of them.
All right, Dr. David Dobesch, thank you so much for taking time on your Saturday evening. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you and getting a chance to learn more about atrial fibrillation at the RWJ Barnabas System. And for those of you who want more information about this program and others at the system, go to www.rwjbh.org. That's www.rwjbh.org, or you can call 888-724-7123, and operators are standing by. Thanks a lot, Dr. Dobesch.
It's been a pleasure, Dr. Perry. I hope your dogs are enjoying the backyard with whatever animals they turn up tonight.
I think it's dead. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. And all right, there's more to the show. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. The phone number here at WOR is 800-321-0710. We'll be back after these words.
We've become a nation obsessed with losing weight, but we seem to be losing sight of why. At RWJ Barnabas Health, we take a different approach to weight loss. Instead of emphasizing short-term goals like reducing the size of your waist, we focus on long-term benefits like reducing your risk of diabetes, sleep apnea, and hypertension. And for those whose best option is bariatric surgery, your journey begins with a nurse navigator who will be with you from the time you commit right through recovery. Along the way, you'll learn about different surgical techniques, healthy eating, sensible exercise, and support groups. And once you find your healthy weight, you'll look and feel better too. It's not about losing weight overnight. It's about staying healthy over time. Visit rwjbh.org/weightloss. RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together.
Ladies, are you seeing an older person in the mirror? You love your mother, but you might not want to look like her. She was older and you're not. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I've spent 3 decades perfecting techniques to help you look younger. If you have sagging eyelids, wrinkles, jowls, bands in the neck, or splotchy skin, I can help. Botox, wrinkle fillers, a rejuvenating facial laser, or Ulthera might be just what you need. And for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scarf facelifts. Let's spend an hour together in my 5th Avenue or Somerset, New Jersey offices. I'll examine you and we'll alter your photographs with my new Vectra 3D camera to show you what you could look like after surgery. Schedule a consultation by calling 212-753-1820 or 732-422-9600. On the web, it's perryplasticsurgery.com. That's perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's Your Wrinkle?
And we are back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry, and this is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. Do you know atrial fibrillation? It's actually a very hard word to say. And if you say it real fast and over, you can really flub the word. Atrial fibrillation. But that was very informative, and it's really been revolutionized in the last few years. It really is. You know, those of you who have these issues, it was quite a disabling illness just years ago, and now it's not. All right. So what's not a disabling illness is our spider veins. But, you know, a lot of people come to my office because they're very troubled by spider veins. What are they? Well, those are those little veins underneath your skin, usually on your calves, the front of your leg, the back of your leg, or the front of your thighs or the backs of your thighs, usually not on your buttocks and not on your belly or anything like that, usually on the lower extremities. And by definition, spider veins do not protrude from your body. So if you've got protruding veins, well, those are varicose veins. It's a whole different story. And varicose veins represent a functional or a medical problem, but spider veins are a cosmetic problem, and there's a real difference. And I get some people come in and they want to try and get insurance to cover spider veins, and I tell them these are cosmetic. Nothing bad at all will happen to you if you do not treat those, and there's no medical benefit to treating them. You just look better, so we're not going to try and get insurance coverage for these things. That would not be fair, and that would also be a felony. So we don't do things like that. So spider veins are treated differently on the lower half of the body from the upper half of the body. So on the lower half of the body, if you do have also what we call concomitant venous disease, that means if you've got varicose veins, well, you've got to get that treated before you get the spider veins treated, because if the valves are bad in your legs and you've got these protruding veins from your calves or the front of your leg or the front of your thigh, and you get the spider veins taken care of, they'll just come back. So first you go to the vascular surgeon, like one of my friends at Barnabas Health or at Robert Wood Johnson or at Columbia, where I'm also on the faculty, or my good friend Neil Kane over at NYU, and they do they take care first of the varicose veins. So that's number one. First you do that. And then you come to me for your spider veins. And what are spider veins again? Well, they're cosmetic. But they can be very distressing because they can prevent you from going to the beach because you've got these big spiders on your leg. And some of them do look like spiders, but most of them just look like little capillaries. And they can be red. They can be a little bluish. Some are like a burst from a particular area, and often that's because there's a valve underneath that is shot, and so that has to be fixed first. But if you're cleared by the vascular surgeon, you come over to me, and we inject those. And for the ones on the legs and the thighs, I prefer the technique of injection. And there are different things we can inject these with. The goal of injecting these spider veins is to actually burn the inside of the capillary. Ah, sounds terrible, doesn't it? So much of what we do sounds so bad, but it's actually not bad at all. The needle that I use is called a 33-gauge needle, and that means nothing to you except for the fact that it's about the same diameter as an acupuncture needle or an electrolysis needle. So they're really, really small needles. And I give you a certain amount of salt water. It's a very strong salt solution. There are different chemicals that can be used also. But the reason I use the strong salt water solution is because there can be no allergic reactions to it. And the chemicals that are used are injected straight into the veins. And occasionally, not often, but occasionally, there can be some allergic reactions and even anaphylactic reactions. And so that's why I choose not to use those other chemicals. But the saltwater solution is a 23% solution of saltwater. And those of you who know, the body's made up of less than 1% salt. So when your body is exposed to something that strong, kind of fries the inside of those little blood vessels. And that's half of what we do. The other half you do, you put on compressive stockings. So you buy those stockings from Jobst or from Mojo over there in Brooklyn or one of those companies, and it's 20 to 30 millimeters of mercury. Those are the ones. You can't buy the ones for the most part in the drugstore. Usually they've just got to be fitted better. You know, if you're lucky and if you've got just the right size leg, you can get the ones in the drugstore. But the purpose of the compression stockings when you have spider veins treated is to collapse the blood vessels. So the way to look at it, the little blood vessels, the capillaries of your legs, are sort of like a little garden hose. And let's say you take your garden hose and you spray some glue on the inside of it. Well, not much happens, right? The water still comes through. But if you collapse that garden hose on itself, kind of stomp on it, and you've got glue there, it's going to stick together. And that's what the compression stockings do. So for 2 days, use the compression stockings, and lo and behold, we get about two-thirds of the blood vessels that I treat stay closed. And then you say, well, you must not be good at this, Dr. Perry. Why only two-thirds? Well, you know, your body thinks that we've injured it. It doesn't know we've done this for fun. You know, we're doing this cosmetic surgery and these procedures to make you look better, but as far as your body's concerned, you've just been injured. So it does whatever it can to channel through those blood vessels. And about a third of the blood vessels, it channels through successfully. So most people don't have just one treatment. They might have two treatments or even three treatments in order to get a good effect. But usually we can get a good effect. There's a limit to how much salt I can inject, by the way, and I did the math. And it's the equivalent to two large orders of French fries at McDonald's. That's the amount of salt that we can inject. You know those big ones? They're so good, but they're so bad for you, aren't they? But they are good, and there's a lot of salt in those French fries. I'm talking about the big cartons, not those little things that they give you. So if you take two of those, and then it's there's a benefit to this, I think, can suction out the fat after. No, I'm not telling you to eat that. I'm telling you how much. Noah's looking at me like, wait a minute. Liposuction? No. So the salt that we inject is the equivalent to two large things of McDonald's French fries, and that is our limiting factor because we don't want to overload your body with salt. So we do that. It actually turns out to be 5 cc's of a saltwater solution. That gets most of the spider veins on most people's legs, but it's usually a very nice procedure. You walk around with the compression stockings for 2 days. There's always a bruise or two or three. And then after a couple weeks, you look at your legs, and lo and behold, many less spider veins. But most people have more than one treatment. So what about the face? We don't inject the face. It turns out that the laser is a much better technology for the face. It's because the type of blood vessels in the face are different from the blood vessels in the legs. The flow rate is much higher in the face than the legs. needles hurt a lot more in the face than the leg. So it's a different treatment. It's more effective to have a laser procedure. And a laser that we use in the face is called a YAG laser. There's a lot of different ones. There are still people that use these lasers that cause bruising. And I get people coming in to me and they say, well, I went to this dermatologist and he or she said it's going to be 2 weeks of bruising afterwards. And I say, well, that's because they're using a laser that's something like 15 years old, because the old ones all caused bruising. But the new lasers cause no bruising at all. So you might have a few little capillaries on your face, and it might be also one of those cherry red spots. You know what they're called, by the way? They're called senile angiomas, and you probably, if you're over 60, you probably have a bunch of those on your face, maybe on your neck, maybe on your chest, on your upper arms. They're called cherry angiomas or senile angiomas, completely benign and very, very easily treated with the YAG laser. And this is one that I did on Dr. Oz on the show, and you can look at that tape of me lasering Dr. Oz. And, you know, honestly, it doesn't really hurt. I've had it myself. But Dr. Oz told me after I did it on the show, I'll never come back on the show again. I was back after that. But it's not particularly painful, and we zap those blood vessels. The lasers are so effective. This is one of the very few procedures in cosmetic surgery that you have the results immediately. You walk into the office with all these capillaries and red marks and rosacea on your face, and we do the capillaries that go around your nose and into your nose. That hurts a little bit more, and on your cheeks. And often, if you've got rosacea, we'll do just kind of comb through the area. And by the time you leave and go to the checkout counter, you look in the mirror and you say, wow, everybody does, because it's instant, it's immediate. But again, some of those come back. So after a couple weeks, some return, and we'll usually do a second treatment. All right, that's Spider Veins, and that pretty much wraps that up, but there's more to the show, so stay tuned. We've got all sorts of fun things to talk about. The phone number here at WOR is 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. We're coming near to the end of the show, so if you do want to call, you've got to get that call in now. We'll be right back. Listen carefully if you're interested in beautiful skin. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Good skincare really can improve your appearance. I know you've used many products over the years and haven't seen a difference. So you say, why should I try your skincare, Dr. Perry? Well, here's why. I combine scientifically proven ingredients into just a few products, and that keeps it simple. A study showed my skincare reduced the appearance of wrinkles by 20% and visual signs of aging by 44% at 12 weeks. That's huge. And that's real. Daytime with niacin protects, and nighttime with vitamins A and C nourishes. And Clean Time Cleansing Bar even removes most makeup. I'm offering my basic kit, all three products, for $65 plus shipping if you use the WOR 2019 code. Go to drperrys.com, that's drperrys.com, or call 844-DR-PERRY to order. To learn more, listen every Saturday at 6 p.m. right here on WOR. Ladies, are you seeing an older person in the mirror? You love your mother, but you might not want to look like her. She was older and you're not. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I've spent 3 decades perfecting techniques to help you look younger. If you have sagging eyelids, wrinkles, jowls, bands in the neck, or splotchy skin, I can help. Botox, wrinkle fillers, a rejuvenating facial laser, or Ulthera might be just what you need. And for the most dramatic rejuvenation, I perform short scar facelifts. Let's spend an hour together in my 5th Avenue or Somerset, New Jersey offices. I'll examine you and we'll alter your photographs with my new Vectra 3D camera to show you what you could look like after surgery. Schedule a consultation by calling 212-753-1820 or 732-422-9600. On the web, it's perryplasticsurgery.com. That's perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me, Dr. Arthur Perry, every Saturday at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's Your Wrinkle?
And we are back. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And this is the station to learn about you and your appearance, your nose, whether it's small, large, or Droopy? Well, I can help you with that. Give me a call, 800-321-0710. So according to Forbes magazine, something like 300 people are leaving New York City every single day because they're absolutely sick of the garbage in the streets and the problems that this mayor... I'm not supposed to talk about politics on the show, but I think you know where it's going. And you know where it's going? It's going to Highland Falls, New York, because Highland Falls is only 41 miles north of New York City. If you stand at the George Washington Bridge and look north, you can't see it, but the Hudson River goes up there, and right on the edge of the Hudson, right before West Point, right after Bear Mountain, is Highland Falls. And there are properties that Bobby Fallon wants to sell there, and she tells me that the properties she wants to sell are cheaper than studios in Manhattan, where you get to look out on the noise and all the, you know, I love New York, but, you know, enough is enough sometimes. So you want to go up to Highland Falls and live a new life. Give Bobby Fallon a call. Her phone number is 845-446-2238. Now, Bobby tells me that 58 Undiora Park, that is the nicest section of Highland Falls. It's still available. It's a three-bedroom a house, and it's over half an acre overlooking the Hudson River. So you get your binoculars right at the kitchen sink there and look at the boats going up and down the Hudson River. And then you see the wildlife in your backyard, the wild turkeys and the deer that you don't want to eat, you know, all your vegetables. But it's a different life. You can have a wonderful life in Highland Falls living at 58 Undiora Park. Give Bobby Fallon a call, 845-446-2600. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And by the way, I want to mention that I'm going to be on tomorrow night also at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Sunday night. So if you have absolutely nothing to do on Sunday night, I'm sorry about that, but you will have something to do. You can give me a call. And we're going to have that same special, by the way. We're going to also give away bottles of nighttime tomorrow night. So, all right, you sat here tonight, you listened, and you said, I've got lots of questions for Dr. Perry, but I'm afraid to call him because someone will recognize me. No, no one will. So let's talk for a minute about skincare regimens, just for a minute. I looked online at one very famous company, and I found a regimen. I laugh at these things. There's a morning regimen that's 9 steps long. First, you steam your face and then gently cleanse your face and then apply toner and then apply cream for under eye swelling and then treat age spots with retinol, which is ridiculous in the morning because it's inactivated by the ultraviolet light, but don't tell them that. Then it says apply peptides, then tap the surface of the skin to stimulate cells, which is another one that's interesting. Apply your makeup, and then apply your sunscreen. 9 steps! How many of you are going to do this? I have patients that live for their appearance, and they will not do things like this. And then there's 2 steps before dinner, cleanse and apply more vitamin A. Now, by the way, vitamin A should only be applied once a day because it can irritate your skin, but this one says 2 times. And then before bed, there's, let's see, 3, 6, 9 more steps. So that's 20 steps. I won't bore you with the steps that they get. Can you imagine that? You know, I look at this stuff, and there's only one reason why they want you to do this. They want you to empty your bank account and go right into their store and buy everything possible. That is absolutely ridiculous. My skincare program has 2 steps. 1 in the morning, we protect your skin in the morning. And in the evening, we nourish your skin with things that make a difference and clean your skin. You should wash your face 2 a day. If you live in New York or on a farm, you really should, because you know why? You don't want to have oils and dirt on your skin. All right. Well, a lot of people have been asking me about foods that make a difference. You know, there are foods that actually can make a difference, but not too many with making you look better, but there are some. So let's talk for a moment about foods that you can eat to make you look better. And it's kind of what your mother taught you, right? Carrots, they actually have vitamin A. So yes, you can put vitamin A on your face, like in my skincare product called Nighttime, or you can eat vitamin A. You can eat it in carrots and other substances. Tomatoes, what do you think they have a lot of? A lot of people think, well, tomatoes, I don't know. Vitamin C, they're very high in vitamin C. So are red peppers, by the way, not just oranges and limes and things like that. Vitamin E, avocados and olive oil, and lutein. Well, that's the watermelon. It's the end of the season for watermelon. Get your watermelon now, and you'll get lutein. Apple has phytochemicals in it. Blueberries have antioxidants and, protein. We need protein. Of course, a lot of people have started having low-protein diets, and that's not necessarily good, particularly for your skin, because you have to build up your collagen, and you do that by eating regular protein from either plants or fish or chicken, or hopefully not my poor little mammals out there, but you need your protein. And what you should avoid, of course, are saturated fats from butter. It tastes so good, though, right? Especially in Ireland. Whole milk, margarine, red or processed meat. Those are things you want to avoid. And, of course, sugar. So a lot of people also ask me about my favorite procedure. And we've got a few minutes left to the show. So I thought I would talk again. I did this a few months ago, but I love performing rhinoplasties. And I do a lot of rhinoplasties. And it is such a wonderful procedure. I do rhinoplasties on as early as 14, but usually a little bit older than that, 14, 15, 16-year-olds. I do rhinoplasties on people right after college is a very common age. They leave college. And the transition periods between high school and college, college and job, and after having your children, that's also a very common time to have a rhinoplasty. And then there's another peak, and that's the facelift age. Very interesting. A lot of people, you know, you go through life, and I don't have to tell you, first you raise your children, and you're working all the time, and then you get to a point in life, and you look at yourself, and you say, it's maybe time to do something for me. And a lot of my patients come in, and they say, it really is time. And they have their facelift done, and they have their eyelids done, and they talk to me about having a rhinoplasty. And a rhinoplasty is a different operation in an adult. And when I say adult, I mean anyone over about 30. Sorry for you millennials, but I don't consider you adults yet. Not in a bad way, but in a way that your body image, when you look at yourself in the mirror, under 30, you look at yourself in a different way over 30, because your appearance changes repeatedly and continuously from childhood through the teens and even in the early 20s. And you really don't stabilize with your body image until your late 20s and maybe even 30 years old. But when you come in at 55 or 60 and talk to me about your aging of your face, and then you say, well, I've never liked my nose, and it's also changed lately. The tip has gotten more bulbous, which is very, very common. You know, we think of older people. Remember Carl Malden? Had this very, very bulbous nose. But if you look at the early movies of Carl Malden, it was bulbous, but not as much as later in life. And that's because the cartilage continues to grow later in life, and the bones, for the most part, there are changes in the bones that do occur, but for the most part, there is not a substantial growth of bones like there is with cartilage. And the cartilage thickens. It doesn't just grow, but it actually gets thicker, so that you have a nice, flexible, delicate nose when you're 20. And by the time you're 70, it's kind of hard, the tip of your nose. And that's because the cartilage can actually calcify. So you actually get a little bone in the nose. You know, I'm not talking about up by between the eyes, but you can. So a rhinoplasty that I do on, let's say, a 60-year-old is a very different operation than one that I do on someone who is 18 years old. A 60-year-old rhinoplasty, for one thing, we want to do a much more conservative operation. So again, that 18-year-old or 14-year-old, boy, they want a dramatic change. They want to look like someone else. They want to look like someone that's on television, that's a movie star. But someone who's 60 years old usually tells me, you know, I don't want to look really different. I just don't like the bulbous tip. Just some conservative and relatively minor changes. And that is because it can be very disconcerting to look in the mirror and see a completely different person when you're 60 years old than the person you've looked at in the mirror for the last 40 years, which has been basically the same person. So we do a more conservative operation. So if your nose is large, We might not reduce it to the degree I would reduce your nose when you're a 14 or 16-year-old. So we might. We also have to be very careful when we make changes in the bone, because someone who's 14 or even 25 or even 35 years old, the bone will bend when I do a rhinoplasty. And what is rhinoplasty, by the way? It's an alteration of the bones and the cartilages of the nose. Very rarely the skin, and the only real change we make in the skin is in the nostrils. So we're a much more conservative procedure because the bones bend when you're younger and they break when you're older. So we have to be very, very careful. We don't want those really dramatic changes in an older person. But a lot of people, they go through a rhinoplasty and they look in the mirror and say, boy, you know, I wish I had done that 30 years ago. And that is what people say over and over as they have changes like that. When they do otoplasties, which are ear setback procedures, and when they do breast lift procedures at an older age, as long as you're healthy, it's okay to do these procedures. Well, Noah's beginning to wave his hands frantically. I can see through the video monitor. He says, time to wrap things up. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This has been What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WOR. And don't forget to check me out on Facebook. I've got an essay on plant stem cells that I posted on Facebook and also on the drperrys.com blog. And that's where you can also order products. Well, we'll see everybody tomorrow night. It's just tomorrow, 7 o'clock. I want you to tune in, and I want lots of phone calls tomorrow. Noah, thanks so much for great engineering. Dr. Arthur Perry will be back tomorrow at 7 o'clock and 6 o'clock next Saturday. Bye-bye now.